in borrowed time. And God, only God knows when this will all end. But we understand that something has to happen in this heart right here. If I want to be in heaven, this has to change. Amen? We looked at the news and I think shocked. And the only thing we could hear is why? 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 Why would anyone do something like this? Why? And the more they searched, the less answers. Money was not an issue. Got along with his family, his mom, brothers, spoken to them. Everything in the outside looked okay. But something was wrong where, brothers and sisters? It was the heart and the inside. I spoke with Pastor Peter Neary this week on Monday, gave him a call, and he said that he had been woken up at 4:30 in the morning, and he went to the hospital right away as soon as he found out what was happening to pray with those that were suffering, family members that were flying in, driving in, to find out if their relatives were okay. And he shared that he had the opportunity to pray with several of those who were there that night and had experienced it. And they were grateful for people who believe in prayer. Amen? They came together as ministers, as members, and they went to these different locations where they were needing prayer. Spoke also with Brother Donald Dawkins, who lives there in Las Vegas, and he actually works in the health industry, so he was sharing the just overwhelmed with so many patients, with so many needs at that moment. And again, he just thanked the church family for the prayers that we've been lifting up on behalf of all those who are in Las Vegas at this moment. And we know, we understand that without prayer, brothers and sisters, we are nothing. Amen? We need to be praying more than ever before. We need to be on our knees asking God for wisdom, asking God to change our hearts, transform us from the inside out. That what people see is actually not as good as what is actually in our hearts. Because Jesus lives in our hearts. He reigns there. And he's wanting to see his love manifested among his people at this time. I spoke with one of the administrators. He's the dean for the School of Religion in Puerto Rico. And last week we heard a lot about Puerto Rico. And I asked Dr. Velasquez, I said, is there anything that we can do for the people there? And he said, pray. That's what you can do. And I had the opportunity of talking with him because he had some meetings last week in Washington, D.C. And he was flying back to Puerto Rico and said, once I fly back, no cell connection. Still no cell connection in Puerto Rico for many hundreds of thousands of people that are there. But he said, prayer is what we really need. Praise God, we are getting water and we're getting food, and most people are getting everything they need, but they do ask for prayers. Is that something we can do? That's something we can do as God's people. We can pray for those who are suffering, for those who are in need, not only far away from us, but near and around us. Does anybody here need prayer? Can I see your hands? Amen. We all need prayers. We all need it. So we can be praying for one another. And this month of October is a special month in Europe, in America, in different parts of the world. They will be celebrating 500 years of the Reformation. October 31, actually, is when this is going to be celebrated officially in different places. But this is a time in history that sadly many have forgotten. If you ask many today, do you know who Martin Luther is? What would they tell you? Martin Luther King, yes. If you say Zwingli, Ulrich Zwingli, I know someone here would know who Ulrich Zwingli is, a reformer in Switzerland, in Zurich. If you say somebody like John Calvin, somebody would also know a reformer in Geneva, Switzerland. So these were men that were moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And they were called to share a message of hope, a message that would move the world. And thanks to their courage that they were willing to share in the times that they did, we today have the opportunity of reading the Bible in our own language. Amen? We have that opportunity, brothers and sisters, to read the Bible. And it is the Word of God that will change my heart, and it will change yours as well. If you believe in it, if you trust in it. Martin Luther said something like, sola scriptura, only the scriptures. The scriptures alone. He said something like, sola fide, faith alone. Most importantly, he said, solo Cristo, only Jesus Christ. Christ alone can save us from the pit in which we have fallen, from sin and all of its ugliness. And praise God that even today we can share this message of hope. Amen? Amen? Transformation from the inside out. So how do we know if we're transformed or not? How do we know? Are we good at even lying to ourselves? We deceive ourselves. We look in the mirror and we go, all right. Yes? But inside, we might be hurting. We might be miserable. And there's a quote that I find in Steps to Christ, a quote that I want to share with you today. I'm sorry, wrong button. It goes like this. Who has the heart? With whom are our thoughts? Of whom do we love to converse? Who has our warmest affections and our best energies? If we are Christ's, our thoughts are with him, and our sweetest thoughts are of him. All we have and are is consecrated to him. We long to bear his image, breathe his spirit, do his will, and please him in all things. Amen? It doesn't say to please him in some things, right? Or please him 90% of the time. But please him in all things. And we can all say here, who can do that? How can we do that? Can we do this on our own strength? We can't. That was something Martin Luther found out very quickly. These reformers, they found out very quickly. Indulgences don't help. No, they can't help us get rid of sin. Going to Jerusalem or going to Rome on a pilgrimage, that can't take away the sins of our life. Kneeling or trying to walk up steps on our knees, that can't help us. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by God's faithfulness. Amen? And this man, Martin Luther, found out, along with these others, Zwingli and Cranmer and Calvin, And he shared what he had found. He did it pretty boldly. He put it in the front of the church, where everybody on Sunday morning were going to go there to Wittenberg, and they were going to go through those doors. And there he put 95 theses as to why we needed to go back to the Bible. We needed to go back to Jesus, who is the only one who can transform us from the inside out. In those days, people read their Bibles in what language? Do you remember? Latin. And it was a language that many people did not speak anymore. Clergy, lawyers, doctors, they spoke Latin. But everybody else spoke their own language: French, German, Italian, Spanish. And Martin Luther said, "I will translate this amazing book, the Bible." I believe the New Testament he was able to translate from Latin into German, or Greek into German, in 21 days. The entire New Testament. A miracle. And that unified a nation, brought them together as they studied God's word, as they started to understand what is it that God wants to do in our hearts. If we go to the book of Jeremiah, and I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, we find there, in the beautiful English language, Jeremiah chapter 17, something that Jeremiah recognizes about his own heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is what, brothers and sisters? Deceitful. Sometimes above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And verse 10 gives us the answer. Who knows the heart? "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." God knows the heart. Amen? And he understands that we are good at deceiving ourselves. And this is why we need to come desperately to him and say, "God, change me. Change me. Because you know my thoughts, you know my feelings, you know my heart. And it's not always in the right place." Jesus said the following to his disciples. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. Something very similar, referring to the heart. Jesus was with his disciples. His disciples had not washed their hands. Those around, the Pharisees and the scribes, were upset that the disciples had broken the tradition by not washing their hands. And Jesus said, "Why then do you break the law, the commandments of God, in order to fulfill your traditions?" And they were not happy with that answer. And the disciples were confused. What is Jesus talking about here? But in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus explains the following to his disciples. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 15. Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you also without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from where? Come from the heart. and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed what things, brothers and sisters? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Was Jesus clear as to where all these evil things come from? They come from the heart. And Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that only God can change our hearts. Yes? And transform it. So that we will not sin against God. So that we will not sin against Jesus. If we go to Matthew chapter 5, where we find the Beatitudes, where we find a beautiful prayer also mentioned by Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. But Matthew chapter 5, we find Jesus here also developing this idea about how does murder happen and where does it begin? Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 tells us, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of what, brothers and sisters? And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of what? Of hellfire." He goes on to verse 27. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her." Where? In his heart. And he gives the solution. Verse 33, again, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one." And I don't know about you, but I often catch myself promising things I can't keep. Yes? Telling my wife, "I will do it." And the day goes by and I have not done a thing of what I promised I was going to do. And we have all the greatest intentions to do good things. Yes? And we want to help those around us. But when it comes to doing it, are we able to do it? Many times we fail. And this is where Jesus says, "Let your yes be yes. If you say something, do it. If you say no, let it be no." I've told you this before, but my mom had this rule at home. If she said yes, it was yes. But if she had said no, I could not convince her with anything. Even if I said, "I'm going to do the dishes all month, Mom," she said, "I said no." Verse 38, "You have heard it say that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth,' but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Who's saying this, brothers and sisters? Jesus. And what is he addressing? My heart. and your heart. Is this something that it's easy to practice? It's not easy. Any of you have neighbors? Do you ever have any difficulties with your neighbors? And that's where you need what? The Holy Spirit, amen? To give you grace, to give you mercy, to give you patience, to give you, above all, love. Love. He who asks you, he who wants to borrow from you. Have we been there? Yes. And maybe it hasn't gone too well in lending some money. I learned my lesson one time, and I said, I am never going to hopefully do this again. I was giving a Bible study, and everything was going great. And the person said, can I borrow an amount of money? It wasn't big, but it was an amount of money. And I thought, yes, let me help. So I gave this person this amount of money. The following week, I came back to give the Bible study. They wouldn't even open the door for me. And I thought, if it's just for the amount that I gave out, it was really nothing. I don't want it anymore. I just want to give my Bible study something more important. And I left that day thinking, wow, what happened here? Do you think I left wanting to lend money again? No. And I felt, wow, this really cost more than the amount I gave this person. I lost the Bible study. But God invites us to be generous with each other. Amen? And he also invites us to be generous with those we do not know. Amen? And it's not always easy, but that's something that Jesus can also help us do when he calls us to do it. Amen? And that is the lesson that Jesus was here sharing with his disciple. It's of the heart. A heart transformation needs to happen. Because people can change in the outside. People can look in a certain way. This is Martin Luther saying, I am more afraid of what? My own heart than of the Pope and all his cardinals. I have within me the great Pope self. More afraid. There may be an outward correctness of deportment without the renewing power of Christ. The love of influence and the desire for the esteem of others may produce a well-ordered life. Self-respect may lead us to avoid the appearance of evil. A selfish heart may also what? Perform generous actions. So what is needed here, brothers and sisters? We need to change the heart. That is what is needed. Does Jesus have the solution? He has the solution. And he's giving it to us in his word. Psalm 51, where we started. Psalm 51, and we'll finish with Psalm 51. David understood that his heart needed to change. And he knew exactly where to go. Who could change it? Verse 6 of Psalm 51 says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Is that a prayer we can pray, brothers and sisters? That's a prayer we can all pray. And praise God, he is willing to answer those prayers when we come to him sincerely asking, God, help me. It is not in me to do what is good. I was born in iniquity. But praise God, he can transform us from the inside out. Amen? He can change our hearts. And praise God for prayer. Amen? This is a prayer that David just prayed. And I don't know about you, but it is in times of need that we should definitely be on our knees. Yes? Praying. Prayer, says Martin Luther, is a strong wall and fortress of the church. Prayer is what? A strong wall and fortress. Is that something we need today? We need a strong wall and fortress. And brothers and sisters, we can definitely be praying for each other right at this moment. How many of the youth that we have here? I don't see too many today, but how many of them are here that are 20 or younger? 20 years old or younger? Can you please raise your hand? All right. I'm going to ask you guys to stand just for a little bit. I know a lot of the Pathfinders are out camping right now. Stand just for a little bit. Stand up. Stand up. Don't be shy. All right. Praise God. Praise God for our young people here today. Praise God. Your parents need your prayers. You may sit down now. Your parents need you to be praying for them. Amen? I know your parents are praying for you, but you need to be praying for your parents. They need it more than ever before. Satan is out like a roaring lion. Can we say amen to that? He's out there wanting to devour. And so he needs, God needs us, his people, to be praying more than ever before, to humble ourselves before him, and to build this wall, this fortress around the church. Parents, can I see your hands? Or grandparents, can I see your hands? Amen. We all need your prayers, amen? And we need to be praying for each other in these times that we're living in. Our church needs those prayers. And praise God that he will listen to the prayer of his people when they pray. Probably don't recognize the person who's here. But this came out in the Adventist Review, October 5, 2017. If you have your computer, your phone, you just have to look at the Adventist Review. There's a better picture of this person. Does anybody remember the name Dina Mojica? Yes? Julianne remembers? She was one of our Bible workers here during our series, the beginning of the year. And Dina Mojica, with another friend, were out on Sunday, this past Sunday, in Las Vegas, at the Strip, handing out glow tracks. They just felt impressed. We need to share these glow tracks. And they were there until just a couple of hours before this incident in Las Vegas. They went back to get a bite. And while they were there, the person who was serving them asked, "Have you heard what just happened?" And they said, "No, we just heard a lot of ambulances and fire trucks and policemen go by, but we have no idea what's happened." That's when they found out. And I can say, brothers and sisters, if there's ever a time where we need to be praying, it is now. Amen? And I know parents are praying for their kids. And I know that God was leading these young people and sharing the good news. at a moment that nobody was expecting anything to happen. And I know that their prayer there at the end of the article was basically, Father, we pray that what we handed out that night, that somebody might have probably received the message of hope, that they would have taken this home and hopefully, by God's grace, read that there is a God who cares, who loves us, who is coming soon again. And he wants us all to be ready. He wants us to be transformed from the inside out. We have this quote from Martin Luther. We were having our Sabbath school lesson is on the book of Romans. And this is on the preface to Romans, a commentary that he wrote. And basically he writes, faith is a work of God in us, which changes us and brings us to birth anew from God. It kills the old Adam, makes us completely different people in heart, mind, senses, and all our powers, and brings the Holy Spirit with it. What a living, creative, active, powerful thing is faith. It is impossible that faith ever stops doing good. Faith doesn't ask whether good works are to be done, but before it is asked, it has done them. It is always active. And we know that faith comes from hearing the word of God. Amen? That's how we build faith. In Steps to Christ, this is the last quote that I want to share, where there is not only a belief in God's word, but a submission of the will to him, where the heart is yielded to him, the affections fixed upon him. There is faith. Faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Through this faith, the heart is renewed in what image? In the image of God. And the heart that in its unrenewed state is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, now delights in its holy precepts, exclaiming with the psalmist, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. We need to be praying for the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts. And church family, I want you to be praying for our church, our church leaders. We're starting a new quarter. We're starting a new fiscal year. We need to be praying for our elders. Amen? We need to be praying for our Sabbath school teachers. Amen? We need to be praying for our Pathfinder leaders, our youth leaders. We need to be praying that God will bring us together, that he will change our hearts so that we will do the things that he's calling us to do in these times in which we're living. And by God's grace, we will be a transformed church. Amen? People will see Jesus in us, and they'll want to know about us. They'll ask us, what is it that you guys are doing? What is it that you believe in? Because Jesus lives in us, the hope of glory. Amen? May the Lord hear our prayers. God, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we sing our closing hymn, hymn number 319. Beautiful hymn. Lord, I want to be.